Amen. Grab your Bible with me. Turn, if you will, to Luke chapter 21. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 21 and read just a few verses. How many is thankful for the Word of God? Amen. Do you know this book is alive? Amen. I believe that the Word of God will speak to us if we'll let it. And so I'm one of my approaches to the pulpit, one of my approaches to preaching, is I believe the Word of the Lord is good. Amen. I believe that it's got something to say to us every time we open it. And if we will have ears to hear, we will hear from God. We will hear something that will draw us closer to the Lord every time the Word is preached. How many believe that? So I believe the Word of the Lord is good. I also believe that it is part of the task of the preached Word to address our day, to address seasons and cultural circumstances, and to address family needs, and to address, I guess what I'm trying to say is particular things, right? Particular things. I think it's okay, what I'm saying is, for the Word of God to speak directly to certain things that are occurring at certain times. Is that okay? Is that right? Does that make sense? I think it's okay to say this is happening now, and so this is what we're talking about with a lens, using the Word of God as a lens to see it. And so I want to do a little bit of that today. Luke chapter 21, and let's read verse 25 through 28. In case you haven't heard, there's something happening tomorrow. There is an eclipse tomorrow. In fact, I got a pair of Tom gave me my Culver's eclipse glasses this morning. I got them from Culver, which I like to represent Culver's anyway. So I got these in my palm. Hold on to these. I really like Culver's. I mean, I really like Culver's. Can I get it? That's good. That's really good. But Luke chapter 21 and verse 25 says, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men fainting from fear and expectation of what is coming on the inhabited earth." It bothers me. I'll just be candid and clear. I want to talk about the signs and the stars this morning. The signs and the stars. And I'm going to keep reading, but let me just interrupt and say this. It bothers me when I see people consumed by fear. That, how many knows that that's not the will of God for your life? It's not, fear is not the will of God for your life. And so it bothers me when I see people consumed by fear. But I will say this. I also know that Jesus here says that men fainting from fear and fearing and expecting what is coming on the earth, it's an indicator of a certain era of time. It's an indicator that the Lord is at work, is when people are consumed by fear. It's not what he wants. He's just saying that's an indicator. Do you get what I'm saying? That's an indicator. I don't want men fainting for fear with expectation of what is coming, you see, on the inhabited earth. But he says that will be happening, and that will be an indicator that the Lord is working. And so he goes on to say, "For the powers of heaven will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen," so when you see men fearing, and when you see expectation on the earth start to cause fear and turmoil, and people are talking about it, and when there are signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and there's distress of nations, when you see all of this, here's what Jesus says in verse 28. When these things begin to happen, he says, "Look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near." Somebody say amen. So I want to talk to you this morning about the signs in the stars. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for your word. We're so thankful for the peace, the hope, the joy that we find in your spirit. I pray that your word and your spirit would work together this morning, minister to our hearts, draw us closer to you. Speak to us, I pray, in Jesus' name. Lord, your word is already blessed. Your people are already blessed. And so I pray you'd put your blessing upon me now. Bypass my carnal mind. Minister to us today through the power of your spirit. I ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 You may be seated. Amen. Three times in the book of Revelation, Jesus is identified with this phrase, he who was and is to come. Revelation 1 and 4, grace and peace be to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne. Revelation 1, 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, saith the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. Revelation 4 and 8, day and night, the angels, they never stop saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Jesus is described three times in the book of Revelation alone as he who was and who is to come. In case you haven't figured it out by now, I think most everyone in here knows I'm cut from an old cloth. I realize there's a lot of stuff that's not popular in 2024, but I'm cut from an old cloth, and I still believe that Jesus is coming back. I still believe in the return of Jesus Christ. I still believe that the day will come when he will set all things right, that there is a now but not yet to his lordship. He is now Lord of heaven and earth, but the fullness of that is going to come someday. Brother Steve, I still believe Jesus is coming back in clouds of glory. I still believe that what you and I have today is the earnest, the Apostle Paul says, of our inheritance. We understand what earnest money is. Especially the realtors in the room, understand that there is money that you give, and that money is not the fullness of what is to come. It's not the fullness of it. It's a little bit now in guarantee of the fullness of the possession that's going to come later. And the Apostle Paul said that the Spirit that you and I walk in, boy, I already feel good in the Holy Ghost today, that the Spirit that you and I walk in, Brother Dave, is the earnest of what we will inherit in eternity. That we walk in peace now. We walk in righteousness now. We walk in joy and hope now. But what you and I experience individually now is just the earnest of what is going to come in fullness when Jesus comes and sets all things right. And when the new Jerusalem descends upon the earth, and the earth itself, which is currently waiting its redemption, is redeemed. And there is no more curse, and there is no more death. And the Bible says there is no more sea, and neither is there crying. For God himself, boy, anybody feel what I feel, will wipe all tears from our eyes. I believe that there is a day coming when Jesus is now Lord, but in the fullness he will take lordship and authority and redemption over you and I and over the entire earth. That's the day of the Lord that the Apostle Paul talks about, Brother Steve, that great resurrection day when we shall be like him. 1 John 2 says, for we shall see him as he is. I told you I'm cut from an old cloth. I still believe that Jesus is coming back someday. Anybody still believe that in the house today? Why don't you give the Lord a praise if you do? Praise God. Praise God. Jesus is coming back. This Jesus that we believe and preach is the Jesus of Scripture. He is the Jesus who was, who is, and who is to come. There are three miraculous events that define what it is to be a Christian. The Christian believes in the miraculous. You say, well, I don't believe in miracles anymore. Then you're not a Christian, because the Christian believes in a virgin birth. We believe he is the one who was. The Christian believes what we celebrated last week, in a resurrection. We believe he is the Jesus who is. But the Christian also believes not only in a virgin birth and not only in a resurrection, but we believe in a soon return of our coming King. We believe that Jesus is He who was and who is. But a lot of people today, I realize it's not popular in 2024. I know that in the age that we live in, we don't want to talk about this a whole lot. But we believe not only that Jesus was, I believe not only in Christmas, and I believe not only in Easter. I believe not only in the virgin birth, I believe in a resurrection. But if you can believe in a virgin birth and you can believe in a resurrection, then friend, it not ought be hard to believe in a second coming. It not ought be hard to believe that the day will come when Jesus will return and He will set all things as they should be. I still believe that Jesus is coming back someday. Well, somebody say amen if you believe it. He's going to set all things right. The Jesus that we believe and preach is the Jesus of Scripture. And that Jesus, Brother Jim, was and is to come. Well, somebody say amen. I'll settle down. I want to see it. I believe it. I want to see. I'm looking forward to that day when Jesus comes back. But tomorrow, there's an eclipse. Tomorrow, there is an astronomical event. There is a sign in the stars. And there is a national fascination with this event. Everyone is talking about it. Don't look at the sun. Get your glasses. But Chad said he's going to put a welding helmet. I think he's going to put a welding helmet. You can do that. Put a box. Someone at the Christian church service this morning was saying when they were kids, you could put a box over your head, poke a hole in it. And some of you remember that? And then some of us just look straight up at it and just wish the best of luck, you know. I guess I'm going on disability tomorrow, right? Like I'm going to let's just go. I mean, look straight up at the sun. Blind my eyes. Then I won't have to look at a lot of the stuff that's going on. I want it right. When I go to Walmart, I won't have to look at things anymore. You can just look directly at the sun if you want. Whatever you're doing, I want to see it. We want to see it. We're excited about it. It's going to be a neat thing. I want to see it because it's a fascinating astronomical event. It's a fascinating thing that is happening in the sky. But what I appreciate even more is that events like this bring back the words of Jesus to the forefront of our collective cultural consciousness. I appreciate there is something. I think that you and I get bogged down in our day-to-day routine. How many knows what I'm talking about? We get bogged down in our day-to-day routine. We get distracted by life. Jesus spoke in the parables about us getting distracted by the cares of the world. And every once in a while, we need something, Brother Randy, to bring back to our memory some important things that we are prone to too quickly forget. And then an eclipse happens, and it reminds us, if ever so briefly, that there is a day coming, Brother Jim, when Jesus is coming back. There is something about it, but we are reminded again that Jesus not only was and is, but He is to come. Now, let me say this. I don't know that the eclipse tomorrow means anything. Is that all right? It might. I'm going to be candid with you, but be myself. It might. It very well might. I know there's been a lot of quoting of facts in Scripture that you see a lot, seen a lot of videos and social media. Just wave your hand if you've seen some of it. There's a lot of it. The 2017 eclipse went over cities named Salem. This one is going over cities named Nineveh. Jesus said in Matthew 12 that the only sign He would give was the sign of Jonah. Okay, that's interesting. That's interesting to me. That the eclipse, the intersection, where these two eclipses will intersect, is over what's called Little Egypt in southern Illinois, and there's a town named Jacob, and that God has put His blessing on America. People are saying that the shape that the path of the eclipse goes spells out Hebrew letters in the sky. There's all this kind of stuff that you can look at. All of that is very interesting. I don't know that any of those facts carry any significant meaning from the Lord, and we should be careful interpreting commonly reoccurring natural events as signs from the Lord if the Lord has not expressly stated it. Do they mean something? They might. Are you hearing my heart today? Is this all right? They might. I am completely open to the reality. This very well might be a very significant event, but it also might not. That is also a possibility. It might not. it might possibly just be a very interesting event, one of which that occurs every 18 months, Brother Andy, somewhere on the earth. Every 18 months, somewhere, there is a full eclipse, just like what's going to happen tomorrow. So what's happening tomorrow, does it mean something significant, maybe? Or is it just another one of God's patterns and events that's going to occur naturally in 18 months somewhere on the earth? That may be just it as well. I don't know which way to think. I don't know. I don't have any definitive answer for you because the word doesn't clearly say. But here's what I am preaching this morning. What I do appreciate in those facts is that when people are shown those facts, they are attentive to them because it strikes a familiar chord. Can I preach a little while in here today? There's something about it that I appreciate because when we see those facts and we start hearing, well, it was Matthew 12. It was the sign of Jonah and it's going over Nineveh and Salem and Little Egypt and Jacob, and we start seeing all these things. You know what happens? People go to their book and they start saying, you know, I remember seeing there was going to be signs in the stars, and I remember hearing about Jacob in Egypt, and Jesus said the only sign that age would be given was the sign of Jonah. And what does that mean? And when it says, what is the sign of his coming? Jesus said, it'll be the sign of the Son of Man in the sky. And he said in Genesis 1 that I'll put the stars and the moon and the sun in the sky for signs and for seasons. And so what happens is we start seeing all these facts and people pay attention and we remember what we've read and we respect that those words carry meaning. And so I appreciate what's going on with the eclipse because if nothing else, it has caused people to remember back to a day. Boy, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. Back to a day when they were 8 or 10 or 12 years old and they were sitting in church and they heard the preacher say something that Jesus was coming back someday and that when he does, the sun's going to be blacked out and the earth is going to tremble and there's going to be earthquakes and things like that. And they remember, you know what? If just for a brief moment we lift up our eyes off of our small worlds and we lift up our eyes off of ourselves and we remember, hey, I read something in this book, and we're reminded for a brief moment in time that there is a day coming when Jesus is going to come back again. We're reminded all over again that we have a hope beyond this earth, that we have a hope beyond this life, that we have a promise of something beyond death. We're reminded all over again. Is the eclipse tomorrow? Is it the one? It may or may not be, but I do know this. It's going to remind me when I look up, I'm seeing more than an astronomical event. I'm going to remember all over again, God did that. He's the one that's in charge of heaven and earth. The sun and the moon hang there and they're in their path because God's the one that put them in their path. And the day will come when the eastern skies will part. The day's going to come when Jesus will return for his church. And so I'm grateful today because just like the Apostle Peter on the day of Pentecost stood up when the gift of the Holy Ghost was poured out and he said, you know what, folks? He said, this is that was spoken by the prophet Joel. He said, I've read this book. Boy, anybody feel what I feel? He said, I've read about this before and I got a feeling this is that. Even if it may not be anything tomorrow, but just another eclipse, I'm thankful that my heart and your heart and the heart of people all over the world has been lifted up. And they said, I read about this, Brother Steve. I read about stuff like this. And I remember the day will come when Jesus is coming back again. Oh, how many is thankful for that hope we have today? Praise God. I'm thankful. We'll say, I've read about that. I've read that before. The Spirit, here's what I'm thankful for. I don't know if it's true. I don't know what, I have no, the Bible doesn't tell me anything about, I say it doesn't tell me anything. You get bits and pieces, how do you put it all together about what's going to happen tomorrow? But you know what I'm thankful for? If I'm going to find something to be thankful for, I'm thankful for this. I'm thankful that the Spirit is still drawing people's attention to His Word and to His promises and to His coming. I'm thankful for that. If nothing else, somebody's had another chance. My, I feel the Holy Ghost. Somebody, if nothing else. Somebody, Brother Dave, has had another chance to be reminded, you know, there is a day coming. Brother Chad, somebody has had another chance to be reminded that Jesus is not only He who was and is, but He is He who is to come. I'm thankful that the Spirit is still drawing people to His promises. I'm thankful that the Spirit and the Word are still working together to cause people, Sister Barb, to lift up their eyes to the heavens. Look up. Lift up your heads. Jesus' instruction were, when you see stuff like this, Jesus said, here's what you do. You may not know if it's the day. The disciples, do you remember this? Sister Paula, the disciples said, tell us when the day is. And Jesus said, I can't do that. He said, I'll just tell you this. When you see things like this happen, he said, lift up your eyes, for your redemption draweth near. Don't let it be fear. Don't let it be fear that overwhelms you. Don't let it be expectation of terrible things. Jesus said here in Luke 21, coming upon the earth, that's not what overwhelms me. That's not what I'm going to walk in tomorrow. I'm going to lift up my eyes and say, there is a day coming. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. I'm going to remember that God made that sun and God made that moon and that they are in the path that they're in reliably and consistently and measurably, Brother Jim, because God sent them on their path. And I'm going to remember that someday I'm going to see him coming in the clouds of glory. Jesus said, lift up your eyes and don't think about the fear and don't expect the worst. He said, lift up your eyes and think about your redemption that is someday drawing near. That's what the believer, the real prize, it allows me when I remember that Jesus is coming back. I'm able to maintain perspective about the things of earth and how I live my life. That the real prize is not the most toys. The real prize is not what my life looks like here. The real prize is that someday this is all going away. Jesus is going to make everything new. He's going to redeem heaven. He's going to redeem the earth. He's going to redeem you and I. Resurrection is going to come. Bodies will be healed. The curse is going to be done away with. I remember the real prize is that we're filled with the Spirit, we're walking with the Lord, and we are ready to spend eternity with Jesus Christ in the New Jerusalem. That's what it reminds me of. Redemption. Glory. The resurrection of the body and of the earth. People who are looking for heaven live differently than those who are content right here. 1 John 3:2, and I'm almost done. Sister Barb, can come to the music. Beloved, now are we the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself just as he is pure. People who have this hope, people who look up and they know Jesus is not only he who was and is, but he is he who is to come. They live a little bit differently. They live in preparation. They live in expectation for an event that's coming. People who know something is coming, like Brother Tom this morning, comes to church with a bunch of glasses to give to people. Why? Because there's something coming tomorrow, and we're prepared for it. And in the same way, and I'm grateful for my Culver's glasses here. I think he's got extra if you want a pair. He also said, everyone who takes a pair, he'll buy you a butter burger and cheese curds. So that's good. So I'm just going to hold on to mine like a coupon. People who know and have an assurance and a belief that something is on its way tomorrow, right? They get prepared. And in the same way, 1 John 3:2-3, 2 Peter 3:10 says, you who know and watch for his appearing, what manner of lives should you live? What manner of person should you be? Knowing that there's a day coming, Sister Ann, Jesus is coming back. How should I live? What should my faith look like? What should my heart look like? And so Jesus says that there are signs in the stars for our attention. Signs in the stars to get our attention, to remind us, Brother Randy, that he's coming back. That's what he says, verse 25. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, in the stars. He says, but when you see it, he said, just look up, lift up your head, because your redemption, think about redemption, think about hope. Think about the promises of Jesus Christ, who was and is to come. So tomorrow, when you put that box over your head, or you put on your glasses or your welding helmet. Put it on. And just my prayer is that when you put those glasses on tomorrow or you put that box over your head, that there's something in the back of your head that just says, you know, Jesus is coming back. Tomorrow? Oh, I don't know if he's coming back tomorrow. That'd be wonderful. I don't know. But just think, God did that. God did that. That's his sun. That's his moon. It's aligned because of his his path and his plan and the order that he set to it. And someday, I'm going to look up and my redemption is drawing near. Remember, your redemption draweth nigh.